Welcome to the Luxfer Group fourth quarter conference call. We will first hear from Luxfer Chief Executive Brian Purvis, who will provide a market overview, followed by Group Financial Director Andy Beeden, who will review financial performance. Brian will then return to sum up and offer an outlook. After that, Brian and Andy will be glad to take your questions. We request that you initially ask only one question. After you've heard the answer, we will give you the opportunity for a follow-up question. If you would like to ask additional questions, our operator will be glad to place you back in line. Thank you for your cooperation. We will now turn the call over to Brian Purvis.
Thank you, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Luxfer conference call on the fourth quarter of 2016. Looking at slide four, first of all, in the headlines for the quarter, are as expected, it was a difficult quarter as our magnesium business continued to experience a dearth of principally defence orders. Our earnings result was, however, in line with our updated guidance. We consolidated a significant improvement in cylinders profits over the year. The defence order book for 2017 did increase during the quarter, and although still below par, is much improved. We have several new products commercializing this year, and despite Q1 likely to be only partly recovered, overall we expect 2017 to be at least 10% up on 2016. Then slide five, our adjusted fully diluted EPS of 14 cents in the quarter was in line with our guidance, but 13 cents below quarter four last year. So cylinders had a seasonally weak fourth quarter, but consolidated a good improvement over the year. As in the third quarter, the principal headwind came from sales of our North American magnesium products, and in particular, defense-related products. We occupy a very strong position in supplying the U.S. military with all its requirements for military powders, flameless ration heaters, and personal chemical agent detection and decontamination products. This is a great place to be when demand is strong, but it has been problematic during this period of tight budgets and destocking. As I will discuss later, there is, however, underlying improvement in the background. Revenue is compressed by the lower defense sales, but also by lower activity at our Czech recycling plant, albeit with marginal impact on profitability, and by foreign exchange rates, translating our non-US sales into dollars. Looking at the quarter in more detail on slide six, following 2015's right-sizing actions, results from the alternative fuel cylinder business stream remain much improved, assisted by a higher market share in the bus market. European demand for composite medical cylinders was depressed in quarter four, as it was throughout the year, although sales of aluminum cylinders have improved, with the increase in the large industrial cylinders being particularly promising. Our Superform business is currently selling fewer than usual formed goods due to certain mature contracts finishing in advance of new contracts commencing. But we are selling record levels of tooling, and those tools are associated with new contracts and the future supply of panels. Our largest sand casting customer entered Chapter 11 protection in September, resulting in some disruption to supplies during the following weeks. We are carrying a $1.2 million reserve against amounts due from them as they entered Chapter 11. The major impact on the quarter was the dearth of orders for several of our defense-related magnesium products in North America. We also experienced destocking by certain photo engraving distributors in the U.S., although this was a direct result of positive action by us to increase the number of direct accounts in the U.S., following work to improve the flexibility of our manufacturing operations. Exchange rates have been a hindrance to profit for us in 2016, but that is starting to turn into a benefit, and we do expect that to continue. On slide seven, although we are clearly very unhappy with quarter four's trading results, the quarter did contain good news that builds confidence that we will overcome these short-term issues. New contracts were placed by the U.S. military for meals ready to eat, and we have retained our position as the supplier of 100% of the associated flameless ration heaters for the next 5 years. The minimum annual purchase of 30 million meals was carried over into the new contract, and there was a strong indication that there would be a top-up order in 2017, where in 2016, for the first time in over 15 years, there was none. In addition, the DoD awarded the contract to one of our customers for a new flare, with production starting in April this year. Further, the military flare customer, whose facility had been out of action for the majority of 2016, started to come back online. The destocking by the photo engraving distributors appears to have come to an end, allowing us to start dealing direct to more of our North American customers. Our objective is to improve customer service and lower logistics costs. The sandcaster that I mentioned, that entered Chapter 11, is still working through its restructuring, but after a few wobbles, we are now regularly shipping material to them, their end products being required by the helicopter manufacturers. We are still short of military orders for chemical agent detection and decontamination products. In response, we have launched a package of these products branded Key Defense, and we are marketing it direct to first responders and other civilian agencies, both in the USA and Europe. Overall, we are seeing a recovery in sales for these military magnesium products early in 2017, albeit that quarter one will still be somewhat affected as production is restarted at our customers. The recent statements by President Trump about increased military spending is clearly a helpful backdrop, given that we believe budgetary pressures to be a key reason for the recent low demand. On slide 8, and looking at 2016 as a whole, in addition to the lower magnesium sales referred to earlier, our reported sales have been heavily impacted by the weakness of sterling, and also by the difficulties being experienced by the European magnesium recycling market. The profitability of our gas cylinder division has improved by around one-third, largely due to the actions taken to right-size our alternative fuel business, and despite a low year for sales of medical cylinders. The challenges that hit our magnesium business in the second half, however, meant that our full-year profitability was impacted, with adjusted EBITDA of $55 million, some $7 million lower than in 2015. Slide 9, within Electron, the zirconium business stream was actually steady, despite the continuing transition in catalysis. The big hit to our result was North American sales of magnesium products. The Superform business has struggled a bit in 2016 with a gap in contracts for the supply of formed goods, but we are enjoying an extended run of very high sales of tooling, and those sales bring the promise of higher formed goods sales, particularly from the second half of 2017 onwards. As mentioned earlier, FX has been a negative to us in 2016, but we believe that is coming to an end and it will turn positive as our hedge position rolls forward. Looking as usual at our strategic growth projects and starting on page 10, from a standing start in late 2015, we sold $4 million worth of Solumag alloy to the North American oil and gas industry in 2016, despite industry activity remaining depressed. The bulk of the sales was for fracking spheres, as shown in the illustration, but we are also supplying material for use in plugs and sliding sleeves. Responding to requests from customers, we have developed and launched two new derivatives of the alloy to expand the range of their usefulness to the industry. The high ductility version is ideal for expanding plugs, while the high strength version will cope with extreme pressures. While it is a technical challenge, we are also working on a version that will dissolve in the relatively fresh water found in a minority of wells. On the other side of the slide, Biotronic have launched their magnesium scaffold product, branded Magmaris, in several countries now, including in Europe, the Middle East, and Australasia, and we expect our royalty income to grow steadily in 2017. Early feedback indicates an extremely low incidence of post-operation thrombosis, something that can plague non-metallic devices. Slide 11, when we bought the Luxor MagTech business 2 years ago, we said that one of our objectives would be to expand its geographic presence. Last year, we established new sales positions outside of the USA, and we have now quoted for several million dollars worth of business to a number of non-US buyers of self-heating rations or flameless heaters. Slide 12, we continue to work on our civil aerospace alloys with several seat manufacturers, and we now have 3 prototype components with different manufacturers in testing for possible inclusion in their new aircraft seat designs. And we remain confident of getting at least one of those parts into a production seat during 2017. On slide 13, we continue to get very good feedback from our customers from their laboratory testing of the properties of our next generation G6 AutoCAD technology. The customers do still need to complete engine testing on catalysts made using the material, but we are confident enough to be planning for how we can start making the material in commercial quantities as early as later this year. Slide 14, our investment program at Superform in the UK is well underway. The automotive industry increasingly demands the supply of assemblies rather than panels. The restrike press to allow secondary operations to be made on superformed panels is now installed, and a new Henning cell where we fold the outer door panel over an inner panel and supply an assembled unpainted door is now under construction. These new facilities will be used to supply assemblies and panels on 2 new models that are being revealed this week at the Geneva Motor Show. Thank you, and Andy Beedon will now take you through some of the detail on the quarter four results.
Thank you, Brian, and welcome everyone to the call. My first set of slides will cover the sales analysis for the quarter. Total revenue for Q4 2016 was $96.1 million compared to $107.4 million for Q4 2015. FX translation was a negative $4.9 million, with underlying group revenue lower by $6.4 million. Gasunder's underlying revenue was lower by 5.7% and Electron by 6.9%. Overall, this was actually slightly ahead of consensus, but in line with our own expectations, where we had flagged some demand disruption in the second half of 2016, after a stronger start to the year. For the year, revenue is therefore down at $414.8 million from 2015's $460.3. FX translation was a negative $13.4 million, and FX transaction differences provided a benefit in the end of $4.2 million. Therefore, underlying revenue was down by $36.3 million. Of this, Electron was reduced by $29.6 million, with $10 million relating to low-margin magnesium recycling and the remainder relating to Electron's mainstream higher-margin products. For gas cylinders, the reduction was $6.7 million, mainly relating to the subdued medical demand in Europe. Slide 17 covers gas cylinders. So cylinder revenue for Q4 2016 was $3.1 million less than a year earlier. Shipments for the US self-contained breathing apparatus market were reduced from earlier in the year and the higher run rate then, but this did appear to relate to quarterly phasing and end demand rather than any major changes. And our customers remain very positive about 2017. In 2016, we had an unusually weak year for medical composite demand in Europe. We now know this is partly related to some destocking in the cylinder inventories of at least one of our major customers. However, new products have now been launched, order intake is starting to improve, and customer forecasts are rising too. So though Q4 was compressed, we are optimistic there is a meaningful improvement ahead of us. For the full year, gas cylinder sales were down less than 2.8%. AS sales were materially improved by 30%, despite the difficult economic environment for this sector. Again, a positive as we look into 2017. Self-contained breathing apparatus was effectively flat for the full year with fluctuations through the quarters. Superform tooling revenues were at record levels, with new major work won at several high-end automotive OEMs, including Ferrari, and this should lead to higher forming part sales in the second half of 2017, when they begin to manufacture their new models. During the transition from legacy contracts, forming sales have tailed off, but the long-term volume forecasts for the new business outweighs that of the legacy contracts now ending. Now on to slide 18. As we flagged for Q3, demand for magnesium defense products has been unusually subdued, with destocking of DoD supplies and tightened procurement behavior. Therefore, Electron underlying revenue for Q4 was lower by 6.9%. This led to Luxfer Magtech product lines being 30% to 50% lower than prior year, plus around a 15% weakness in countermeasure sales. Partly offsetting this was strong level of sales for Solumag, and aerospace demand held up well, with European sales offsetting weakness in US demand. As we had previously warned, our PE sales were impacted by destocking in the US distributor sector as we transition major customers to direct sale accounts. Slide 19, which is geographic sales. It shows the fall in sales was very much relating to North America and confirms the US defense demand disruption, whereas Europe held up much better, even though it is these markets that are actually impacted by the FX translation. It's worth pointing to a, it means it is pointing to a positive outlook in our European sales as we export out of the UK and start to benefit from more favorable exchange rates. Turn to the trading profit and adjusted EBITDA results on slide 20. With a trading profit of $5.2 million and trading margin of 5.4%, the fall was mainly in the Electron division as a result of weaker US defense-related sales. FX was not a major variant in the quarter, though it was a negative for gas cylinders and a positive for Electron. The adjusted EBITDA was similarly reduced to $10.2 million, again consistent with the defense sales disruption in magnesium. Adjusted EBITDA margin was 10.6%. For the year, Electron segment profit was down from $33.7 million to $23.9 million. This reduction can be fully explained by the lower level of sales in 2016 in the higher margin areas of the division. Gas cylinder segment profit is up for the year at $11.4 million compared to 2015 of $8.6. This is driven by the improvement in the AF business following our restructuring actions in the prior year and also sales growth in 2016. These improvements more than offset the impact of the subdued medical market. Slide 21 covers net income and EPS. In the quarter, there were several exceptional items. We were able to settle and remove more of our US pension liabilities with a gain of $0.6 million. We incurred $0.5 million relating to restructuring and other expenses. This meant the operating profit was $5.3 million, against $16.3 million for Q4 2015. Of course, in Q4 2015, we had a large gain of $18 million on the closure of the UK defined benefit pension plan. This was partly offset by $11.2 million of additional AF restructuring costs. Statutory IFRS net income for Q4 2016 was a net profit of $3.2 million, compared to 7.4 for Q4 2015. Adjusted for exceptional items and excluding the IAS 19 pension finance cost, Q4 2016 was an underlying net profit of $3.7 million compared to 7.4 for Q4 2015. The effective tax rate on the adjusted net income was 11.9% against 12.9% for Q4 2015. The year-to-date effective rate is averaging close to 23%, very similar to last year. Adjusted diluted EPS was therefore 14 cents for Q4 2016 compared to 27 cents for Q4 2015, and still providing cover against the dividend of 12.5 cents per quarter. For the year, adjusted EPS was $0.92, in line with our Q3 guidance and reduced from the $1.08 for 2015. Dividend cover for the year still being close to 2x earnings. The next slide is on liquidity and capital resources. Detailed slides on the balance sheet and cash flow can be found in the appendices. The key points are as follows. Despite the difficult second half of the year, return on invested capital for 2016 was 11% after tax, still fairly consistent with the 12% after tax achieved last year. Net debt was $107.4 million. The increase includes the funding of the share buyback and an increased dividend payout. The net debt to EBITDA ratio remains respectable at 1.9x. Our year-to-date operating cash flow after taxation for 2016 was a positive $29.2 million. Net cash flow before financing was $14.1 million. For 2016, we have returned in cash $19.6 million to shareholders, compared to $12.7 million in 2015. Thank you. I'll now hand you back to Brian to sum up.
Thank you, Andy. Turning to slide 24 then. In summary, we made good progress with our cylinder business in 2016, turning around the alternative fuel business stream. North American SCBA held up well despite the unwinding of the backlog of orders generated by the regulatory approval delays of 2014. European medical demand was unusually low throughout 2016, but our customers are forecasting higher requirements for 2017. The Electron division was badly affected in the second half by the dearth of defense-related orders and by some other short-term market disruption. There were several pieces of business placed in the quarter that will drive improvement in 2017. Our adjusted EPS for 2016 is in line with our updated guidance, but we recognize that being $0.16 down on prior year is unsatisfactory, and we are doing everything that we can to make 2017 more robust, including looking again at our cost base. While the order book for magnesium products has improved, we know that quarter one will be partly impacted as some of the new business only starts up during the quarter, and our order cover for decontamination products remains low. The backdrop of a promised freeing up of military budgets is clearly helpful, and there are regular reports from around the world on the continuing threat from the use of chemical agents to highlight the risk of running with low stocks. I should emphasize that we believe that we have maintained our market share in all of these areas that impacted us in the last months of 2016. It is simply that we are riding the market. Increasingly, a weaker sterling against the euro should be beneficial to the profitability of our exports into mainland Europe. We have several new products and sale initiatives that are expected to make a progressively meaningful contribution during 2017. Overall, while the order cover for magnesium products is not yet fully restored, we have a lot of initiatives coming through in 2017, and the market background is sufficiently positive that we do expect to improve profitability by at least 10%, hopefully back close to the 2015 level and on a rising trend. Finally, as an update on the recruitment process following last year's announcement that I will retire in 2017, board members are interviewing a short list of candidates over the coming weeks. While I cannot yet give you a name or a firm date, I would hope that we can make an announcement about both in advance of the AGM in May. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
Thank you. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Julian Mitchell of Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. This is actually Lee Sandquist on for Julian Mitchell.
Hi, Lee.
Hi. A full recovery in the run rate is not expected until Q2. Can you just touch on the volume and profitability expectations for Q1? Are we likely to see Q1 being in line with Q4 trends, or should we see a step up given the firming orders?
I'm quite confident that we'll see a significant step up over Q4, and I'm pretty confident that we'll see a step up over Q3 last year. I just don't think that we're likely to get back to the run rate that we saw in the first half of last year, or indeed the sort of average $15 million that would deliver a $60 million EBITDA figure. I'm quite confident it will be a very significant uplift over Q4 and an uplift over Q3.
Understood. I think the profitability improvements in alternative fuels has been very strong despite the continued volume headwinds in gas cylinders overall. But in Electron, it seems like the new catalysis products will only partially offset the automotive catalysis volume headwinds. So would you consider employing any of the restructuring initiatives seen in alternative fuels in Electron, or are you just waiting for the defense market to turn?
Well, I certainly don't see the need to do that in the zirconium side of the business, because on the AutoCat side, we are now holding our own, and we have considerable upside, we believe, there, not just in the catalysis side, but certainly in the catalysis side, with all the other product areas that we're launching new products on the zirconium side. And we only have two plants that produce or dedicated to producing zirconium chemicals. The cost reduction actions that I referred to, in the main, are a lot of relatively small actions. And I would prefer it really if you took those to be an effort to improve robustness in the results, rather than in themselves driving additional profitability at this point in time. But we are looking at a number of different actions, and there are a couple of things that we're looking at which are a bit more substantive in terms of individual chunky pieces. But we're not yet ready to make any detailed statements on those ones. But we are very conscious of the fact that we need to deliver a step change improvement this year and a rising trend, and we will put into the pot whatever we can to deliver that.
I'll pass along. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Lee.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from one of Phil Gibbs of KeyBanc Capital.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Question was on the SCBA market. It sounds like it lost a little bit of steam as 2016 progressed, but first half was obviously very strong. What's the outlook for that business heading into 17 at this point?
Yeah, that's certainly true. The second half wasn't anywhere near as strong as the first. There was a little bit of just phasing in that, because obviously it's dependent on the underlying contracts that the customers win. However, I think it's fair to say that in the first half of the year, there was still an element of backlog being worked through, particularly with MSA from the 2014 regulatory problems. If you recall, they only got the approval for their new generation G1 product at the very end of 2014. And they announced several times during the year that they had a very extensive backlog to work through. We think that backlog has now gone, but there was still an element of it being worked through in the first part of the year, and that's really the main reason why the first half was more buoyant than the second. Having said that, the customers seem pretty optimistic about 2017. And even in the absence of the backlog in 2017, I think that we have a reasonable expectation that the market will be no worse than flat this year at levels which historically are still very high. And from previous conversations, you'll recall that we felt that the major impact here, which is the replacement cycle from the post 9/11 sales, still has a little bit of a way to run, certainly through 17, possibly into 18. So we remain reasonably optimistic about the North American market for 2017, based on what the customer body is telling us.
Okay, I appreciate that caller. Can you frame up the foreign exchange piece of the equation Obviously, you were in a tough spot, particularly in the second half of last year, and maybe frame up the magnitude of the upside in terms of that turn.
Yeah, Phil, it's Andy. Obviously, as you know, we hedge forward up to 2 years. So the benefit will start to progress itself through this year. And as we said before, you know, a range of $2 to $4 million, depending on the actual exchange rates. We only hedge about 60 to 70% of our forecast, so there's always a variable element. But we're still in that range and progressive through the year. So, you know, I'd expect definitely we'll have better exchange rates if things stay stable in the second half of the year compared to a year earlier. And there's therefore also, at these rates, a meaningful improvement in 2018, and we are hedging into those rates. So, you know, one of the best KPIs is the euro to sterling exchange rate, you know, and it's been averaging as low as 115. And, you know, we're hedged at rates at that sort of level, whereas 2 years ago we were at 135, and we're probably hedged for this year around the 123, 122. So you can see there's a big benefit to come in 2017, but maybe just as big in 2018.
And virtually all of the exports that we sell into mainland Europe are priced in euros.
Yeah.
So it is a direct impact to revenue and margin.
Perfect. And then last one I have is on the CapEx. This year, I think $16-17 million. What's the outlook for 17, and what growth initiatives are embedded within that number? Thank you.
Well, Andy can sort of comment on the overall figure for the year, but in reaction to the poor second half results last year, I put a clamp down on new capital expenditure projects, and so while we don't cancel projects which are already in train, there haven't really been very many new projects signed off in the last few months. So I think the level of CapEx in the first half of the year will be relatively low, and then presuming that we observe the turnaround that we expect and we see a rising trend, we will start to release funds again back into capital expenditure.
So, Phil, roughly it's, you know, we're budgeting around the sort of $20 million mark, plus or minus 10%, depending on what other maintenance and the projects pop up. But if it was $20 million, it would be, you know, no more than maybe a third in the first half of the year and two-thirds in the second half of the year. As Brian said, we've clamped down on current expenditure while we seek to generate cash.
Thanks very much.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Garo Norian of Palisade Capital Management.
Hi, Garo. I wanted to understand if you could help me with the sizing of the chemical decontamination business within magnesium and just how much of a negative impact that, you know, is or could be based on the lack of orders at the point.
Well, about a third of Luxra Magtech's revenues come from the chemical agent detection and decontamination. So that's a region of $10 million, maybe just south of $10 million. And, you know, they are products that we make from scratch, so they're relatively high-margin products. And the contracts that are awarded tend to be for quite a long period, you know, maybe for two or three years' supply. So we work through those after they're awarded. And we still have contracts in place which we'll be working through this year. The issue is that we have come to the end of a couple of them, and they just haven't been renewed to date. So we're running at risk probably of something of the order of a couple of million dollars worth of profitability, where we don't have the order cover today for items that we would expect to be producing on a fairly regular basis. And we can accommodate that. It's unhelpful, clearly, but we can accommodate it. But it's about that level of risk where we still haven't seen any order cover for these contracts which are now expired.
Got it. And if I think about the Superform business on an annual basis, is 17, you know, expected to be up, down, or flat versus 16?
We expect it to be quite substantially up or in 2017. Now, obviously, it's a $40 million business, so it's only a relatively small proportion of the group and indeed of the division. But we do expect quite a substantial uplift. Unfortunately, it's going to come in the second half, and that always obviously makes you a little bit concerned that it's not just tomorrow. However, a lot of it is based on these new contracts that we have won. We know what parts we're going to be supplying, and as long as the customers get their production launches away in the planned timescale, then we should start to see a significant uplift in their returns in the latter part of the year. And it's very much down to, you know, squeezing more production out of the existing facilities. Because we have been doing a lot of work to not just increase the added value on the products that we sell, as I mentioned earlier, but also to reduce the cycle times on the presses that we operate. And so, you know, squeezing additional volumes of revenue out of the existing facilities, you know, should really start to fairly significantly improve the returns from that business. As I say, it's still a small part of the group, but we do expect it to be a much bigger contributor as a run rate in the second half of this year than it has been ever before, really.
Okay, so if I understand things correctly, you know, and appreciating that a bunch of the improvement is likely to come in the second half of the year across several of the different business lines, it seems like other than the chemical decontamination, you know, you're likely to see improvement in most of the certainly areas that have been problematic in 16, and then some of the other areas seem, you know, like you had been talking with Phil, should be maybe flattish in the SCBA, you know, and then you're going to get the benefit as well from the currency. I guess what I'm struggling a little bit with is why wouldn't things ultimately turn out to be a little bit better than, you know, the 10% that you're talking about?
Well, I would accept that absolutely they could be, Darrell. And you're correct in that going through the various areas, we haven't really identified any significant areas which we expect to go backwards against prior year. But of course, having said that, you know, we've been knocked last year, and it was a bit of a surprise that the defence demand, you know, fell away as dramatically as it did last year. So we have to be conscious of the fact that, you know, although we are projecting improvements in several of the key markets that we've had problems in, it's only 2 months into the year, and there may be other markets that we are thinking are fine, but we'll have problems with them. So it's really once bitten, twice shy. You know, we want to see a lot more time under our belt with markets coming back and growing before we get any more confident than we are at the moment. So we're going to settle for at least a 10% uplift. Could it be a lot better than that? Yes, it could. But we just have to be a bit careful given that things came out of left field and hit us over the last couple of years, and that could happen again.
And Tara, just to remind us that Q1 last year, from a profitability point of view, was the best quarter we've had for, you know, quite a few quarters. So there's a comparator point there, which has to work its way through.
Understood. Thank you. One last thing: the tax rate expectation for the full year.
Yeah, around the 25% underlying.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from one of Phil Gibbs of KeyBank Capital.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. I just had a quick follow-up here on the zirconium automotive business and how the litigation right now that you have outstanding against your competitors are factoring in your thoughts or expectations on the adoptability of the G6 line in 2018, and what you're thinking right now the potential could be in general from a from an upside standpoint for the auto business over the next couple of years versus where you are today.
Well, as you know, our auto catalysis business today is very, very much smaller than it ought to be. Had we maintained the market share that we had 4 years ago through what's been a growing market, and you can ascribe most of that to the competition, which we believe is unfair competition. So we do have this court action. As you will be aware, court actions can be very slow and long drawn out. And one particular complication of this one is that there is a Chinese participant, and it has taken us a long time to get that Chinese company served with the action which is being heard in the UK. However, that has now happened, and we do expect that there will be some progress on that court case this year. We are not counting on that generating any direct benefit in 2017. The G6 product that we've mentioned, which is really going to be a 2018 revenue, is something that we believe will win business because it's a technologically better product than the products which we have out there today and which have been copied. So we think that we'll win business with that off the back of that technology leap. And hopefully that new technology, it will at least take several years for anyone to copy. We will obviously be making double our efforts to protect intellectual property in that regard. There is, of course, indirect pressure in the sense that we've made it known to the marketplace what we believe in terms of the unfair competition. And we are out there trying to regain market share on the existing technology, the G4 technology, with products which are essentially identical to those which the competition has been selling. So it's a relatively easy process for the customer to switch from them back to us, and we have made sure that the offering that we put on the table gives them no potential financial disadvantage from doing that, because what we really need in our plants is additional volume. And if we have to price match to do that, then that's what we will do. So we still have an aspiration and a hope that we can win back some of that market share over the course of this year on the G4 product. And winning a couple hundred tons of that would be a big boost for us, because the chemical business is a high fixed cost, high margin business, and that would find its way through to the bottom line with a very nice kicker. However, we don't yet have that additional market share, so it does fall into the category that we said earlier on, in that that's what we're working towards, but we're not factoring that into our projections just at this moment.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that was our final question. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Brian Purvis for any additional or closing remarks.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the interesting questions. We will report again to you on quarter one in early May, and I very much hope and expect that we will have a better set of results to present to you then. Thank you again.
An encore recording of this conference call will be available in about 2 hours. Telephone numbers to access the recording will be available on the Luxfer Group website at www.luxfer.com. Thank you.